inhabit this talk now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, hello everyone. It's so great to be with you. Like I was introduced, my name's Zeke. Tiny little bit about me. I've got a wonderful wife called Ellie and a little boy, 15 months old, Gabriel. So it's a shame they can't be with us. But we've just come, myself, Owen and Noah have just come down from Scotland. We've been at a Scottish youth weekend away, about 90 young people and youth leaders there, just going hard after the things of God. And God's doing amazing things. And I want to encourage you all to, and I know we're in challenging times, but God is doing some incredible things with young people. He really is on the move, and he's doing wonderful things. We've also just finished four road trips. We do DTI road trips. We've been to Manchester, Nottingham, Bristol, and London. We've seen almost 1,500 young people and youth leaders gather in those locations combined. And we saw 105 young people give their lives to Jesus, whether it was like a recommitment moment it's great. And 51 of those young people had never, ever given their life to Jesus. We often give young people opportunity. You know, sometimes we all fall away to just recommit. So it's been incredible. And God is really up to something in the UK. It's a blessing to do my role. I work for DTI and the Youth Network, serving youth leaders and young people around this country. And it's a real blessing. This morning, what I want to do is I want to be looking from the book of Joshua chapter 1. So if you have a Bible or you're taking notes, if you've got a Bible, I'm old school, I'm paper. I'm only 36, I say old school, but there's nothing like the good book, guys, and having a paper copy. Just open it to Joshua 1, and we'll be in and out of that today. But I believe that this word this morning that God's been stirring in my heart will be a great encouragement to you, because we need encouragement in these times. And so I want to, my talk could basically be summed up in four words. So I'll share those words with you, and then I'll quietly leave and we'll see where this goes. No, I'm joking. But I will just say I'm a Newcastle fan for anyone in here. United, but I love Sunderland. They're great as well. No offense. Right, quickly moving on. The four words: be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. I know I said them like four times. Four is 12, but like four. It's good. It's funny. I know I'm funny. But I wanted to say that to you. And where these are mentioned three times by God to Joshua and to the generation that he was leading into the promised land. And you know, just to give you a catch up to where we find ourselves in this book of Joshua, the Israelites had a crazy journey. That if you know the story and you've watched Prince of Egypt, you know they were in Egypt in captivity for years, serving Pharaoh and the Egyptian people. And then God raises up a man called Moses. You'll know this story. He goes to Pharaoh and he sings him a song. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, ooh, baby, let my people go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then obviously that's old school. I'm raised in a Christian home and raised in kids' clubs and all that. We sung these songs. But Pharaoh says no 10 times. And then God sends 10 plagues, but Pharaoh keeps rejecting. And on the 10th, he lets God's people go, and they get to the Red Sea, and God parts the waves, and Pharaoh gets angry and he chases them, and the waves come crashing down. And then the Israelites wander in the wilderness, and they're followed by God guides them by a cloud by day and fire by night. Wouldn't that have been amazing? If I could go back to a moment in the Bible, I would love to go there. Just be guided by a cloud by day and fire by night. Then for 40 years, God, he feeds his people with quail and manna. 40 years God provided for his people. Except don't like read this book and think that that didn't really happen in history. God has provided in powerful ways, and he wants to still provide today. And then they get to the promised land, and I'm leaving out loads of detail, but then it's Joshua. Moses dies and Joshua is there, and God calls him to guide his people into the promised land. And I don't know if you've ever read Joshua 1, but this is a powerful passage. And I'm not going to read it all because it will just take too much time, but I would encourage you to read Joshua 1. Because God, what God does is he, as they're standing on the edge of the promised land, God makes four promises to Joshua and to Joshua on behalf of his people, like a vision for the future. And I don't know about you, but I'm a visionary. I love to look to the future, but sometimes it's hard when you look to the future and you see something great, but we forget that we've actually got to get on and do some stuff in order for that vision to come to reality. And I know that God's called this church to do great things. God stirred a vision, you know, particularly like he stirred a vision for Dave and Nicola. And that vision is a big vision, that there's so much more to go, but there's still that we got to get on with it. And so these are the promises I just want to read to you. We pick it up in verse 3 here. This is God speaking to Joshua. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then he goes on to say, be strong and courageous, and new things come after that. But guys, just to recap for a moment, the first promise, I will give you every place you set your foot. This is God's promise to Joshua and the people. Second promise in verse 4, your territory will extend effectively to far-reaching places. Promise 3, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. He didn't say you won't have problems. He just said no one will be able to stand against you. And then the final promise is, as I was with Moses, in other words, as I was with your forefathers and your foremothers, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And God lays down these four promises. And I would encourage you as a church to read over these and ask God, is this not a promise over my own life? Can this not be a promise over my own life as a Christian? God's promises, they were there thousands of years ago. They still remain. We live in different terrain. We live in different cultures and situations. But God's promises remain. That's why we're singing like, you're the God of this city. Greater things are still to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city and beyond. So God goes on and he says, be strong and courageous four times. And there's a different instruction after those charges. God charges Joshua to take his people into the future. Now, Joshua needed to hear these words literally thousands of years ago. And I believe that these words we still need to hear today. Because then they're the exact same words we need to hear. We're not in the same situation, but we are in very difficult times. We're living in challenging times. I know you can ask any young person what it's like to live in this world today, and I'm sure they'll tell you it's pretty difficult. It's pretty challenging. I think I got a bit of hope, but it's really hard. You see, in this world that we're living in, I would have loved to have had a little special Britney mic, but I'm going to try to do this. We've got a lot of fear and we've got a lot of discouragement. Would you say that's true? There's a lot of fear around and there's a lot of discouragement. But when God says, don't be fearful and don't be discouraged, be strong and courageous. And you see, what I've realized is if we carry around in our life fear and discouragement, then we can't pick anything up with our hands because our hands are full. And I want to encourage anyone in this room who feels fearful or discouraged that you've got to put that stuff down in order to pick up being strong and courageous. Hands that are ready to go and take hold of what God has called us to take hold of. So my question to you, will you be strong and courageous? Will you be? We've got fear and discouragement, but we need to be strong and courageous. Okay, the first strong and courageous, if you're taking notes, the first, it's the same four words four times, but there's a different moment. Be strong and courageous. Now, as a leader, when it comes to the emerging generation, I lead young people and I see and hear what's going on in them. I'm acutely aware of the discouragement out there. Like, just ask young people about the state of their mental health, what's going on in their minds. There's mental health issues amongst young people reported to be on the rise, as rates of young people struggling with depression, anxiety seem to be similar year on year and even getting worse. The Office of National Statistics in 2022 had done some studies on the state of mental health of young people in this country, and they basically came up with this stat. Suicide was the leading cause of death for males and females, get this, between the ages of 5 and 34. This was 2019. And if you look online, you'll see that the stats don't look great. Guys, young people in this country are being robbed of their spiritual, emotional, physical, and mental inheritance. And God, when he speaks to Joshua, he says the first one, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. There is an inheritance that God is calling us to lead the next generation into. And I'm thinking, not on my watch. As long as I live in this country, as long as I serve God here, not on my watch. Those stats need to go down. I need to pray against those stats. I need to pray for young people's minds. I need to do everything I can. And the same call for you guys and young people. Pray for your minds. Pray for your minds. Parents, pray for your young people's minds. Stand with them. God is charging us to be strong and courageous. And so I say, as adults, parents, influencers, leaders of young people, we are called to lead young people to courageously step into their inheritance. If I look at my family tree and I could sit here and tell you, I've got a mess that I was born into family-wise. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not letting what happened in the past dictate what's going to happen for the future. Be strong and courageous. Every year we run DTI. Last year we saw 4,000 on site. This year we're headed to 4, 4.5, 5. I don't know. God, help us. We gather young people from all the four corners of the UK, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland. We have Portugal, we have Spain getting involved. It's happening. God's calling young people to gather together. And although I share those sad stats, let me tell you some other amazing stories. A few years ago, we literally have hundreds, every year, hundreds of young people share stories of what God has been doing. They write them down and we read them. I'm talking like 300-400 written testimonies of young people. I think it was 2018, a young girl's worshiping. Now, she always used to wear a hoodie because she was ashamed of the scars on her hand, arms, because she used to self-harm. She's in worship, and on one of the final nights, she hears a whisper in her mind, and she senses that it could be God saying, take off your hoodie and worship me freely. This young girl was filled with anxiety and fear about doing that, but she got brave, she got strong and courageous, she took her hoodie off, and as she worshipped, she looked at her arms, and the self-harm scars were gone. I've checked this with her parents. They're actually church leaders. Listen, pray for church leaders' children, because the enemy wants to have a pop. Anyway, she's worshipping. In that moment, there was freedom. Still no scars today. Guys, God is doing something amazing. He's stepping, like for that young girl, as she worshiped Jesus, she stepped into her inheritance as she took off her hoodie, a symbol of fear, and stepped into the goodness of God. Let me tell you one more story before I move on. This year we had a young girl, and these are pretty heavy stories, but you need to hear it because it's going on. Young girl who about a year ago just wanted to end her life, so she went up to the top of a car park building and jumped off, but she didn't kill herself. She ended up in a wheelchair. She ends up at DTI this year, 2023, last year. And she is in a wheelchair. They take her into the meetings and all this stuff's happening. And she, towards the end of DTI, she said, I'm fed up of sitting in here. I just want to stand and I just want to worship him. And so she gets her youth group and her youth leader, can you help me stand up? And so this young girl stands up and the youth group hold her up and she begins to worship God. And she begins to get a bit of freedom in her body. I called that youth leader a few weeks ago because I just wanted to check in with them, see how they were doing. And the youth leader, Zeke, let me tell you the story. I'm so glad you rang. That girl, she walked across her bedroom a few weeks ago. God's restoring her body. Guys, although the enemy is working in the hearts of young people, God is raising up a generation to be strong and courageous. And let me tell you, however old you are, you're part of the army that's going to lead them into their inheritance. Be strong and courageous. Number two, be strong and courageous. This is in relation, and please go and read this, but this is the context. Be strong and courageous. Keep this book of the law on your lips. Meditate day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? That's the third, going into the third, be strong and courageous. It's all about meditating, keeping this book close to your heart, keeping this book in your mind, meditating on this book. This is the word of God. It's powerful. It's like a double-edged sword. If we don't read this book, we don't understand the context we're in, where we've come from and where we're going. It's a precious book. Now, I like to read stats because I want to understand what's going on with young people. And there's an organization called One Hope, American organization. They did a study with 8,000 teenagers who said of themselves, I'm a Christian. So they signed up because they were Christian young people. Or what they said they were, 8,000 young people. They asked a bunch of questions. Of those 8,000, 40% of that 8,000 said they never read this book. So they're a Christian, but they never read this book. I don't know if you shout out how many you think, just guess percentage-wise, how many young people that said they were Christian, of that, what percentage that said they were Christian, read the Bible daily? Just someone shout out a percentage. 20%? 8, what, 30? 11. 11% that say they're Christian read this book daily. But what they, when they went on and asked more questions, probing questions about that, what they realized is there is a decentralization of scripture in the hearts of Christians. Many Christians say, hey, I believe Jesus, I walk with him, but they never open this book. It's a travesty. The basic instruction before leaving earth, that's what Bible stands for if you didn't know. Basic instruction before leaving earth, and we never open it. Please teach the generation coming up to not put this book on their closet gathering dust. It needs to be at the forefront, like God said to Joshua. This is what they found. In the study, the young people who demonstrated characteristics of a committed Christian, who ascribed to the basic tenets of the Christian faith, or orthodoxy in other words, and prayed and read scripture on their own at least once a week, not even every day, those young people who lived out a practical following Jesus, and this is interesting, they were less likely to be depressed or anxious or report a suicide attempt. They were less likely to be confused about their gender identity or sexuality, and they were less likely to demonstrate at-risk behavior. Now, that's just a study. It's not the full story, but it's some of the story. God was saying thousands of years ago to Joshua, don't let this leave your mind. Let it be on your lips. And guys, God is wanting us to raise up a generation that hold this book as the book that is their guide. Please encourage them. One thing I inherited from my family, apart from my good looks, no, I'm joking, or am I, for those of you online, one thing I inherited was a passion for this book. Now, as a teenager, I used to love to wrestle with my dad. Any young lads like to beat your dad up? You won't, yes, I see that hand. So what I would do is I would kind of look through the crack of the door and then kick the door open and ready to kung fu kick him in the gut usually, or somewhere else. But then what I would find often was my dad in two positions. One was with the Bible open, reading it. The other was asleep with the Bible on his chest. Do you know what it taught me? He didn't need to say anything. What it taught me, that this book was close to his heart. Please make this book close to your heart. Teach the generation to read it, to believe in it, to hold it up. We had a young, we work hard with young people to try to get them into this book. 2 years ago, we partnered with YouVersion. If you've got that brown Bible app on your phone, that's called YouVersion. We've got a partnership with them We write Bible studies for young people. We've written 7 or 8 now, and they're often written by young people. We obviously check them because, you know, yeah, anyway, no, it's good. It's good. Young people have great theology. And so we partner with them. Do you know how many? We have seen almost 20,000 of those Bible plans completed. 20,000 in 2 years. Young people, if you give them a challenge, they'll read this book. Get them into it. Finally, before I move on, a young lad came up to Susie, my colleague and my boss, and he said, hey, so see that big stage? This was at DTI. How do I get up on there and preach? She said, well, yeah, it's funny you ask that. We have a lot of people asking that. How can I get up on there? She said, the best place to start is in your bedroom reading your Bible alone. And he said, oh, brilliant. Let me show you my Bible app. And he showed her the Bible app, and it's about streaks, basically how many days, day on day, you've read the Bible. It was 190 days this kid had been reading the Bible, day after day. Maybe he'll be up on the stage. I don't know his name, but maybe you'll see him preaching one day. It starts in your bedroom if you want to grow and develop and teach others. Third, be strong and courageous. I'm moving. You still with me?
Yes.
Everyone okay? Not feeling too kicked around? No. I say this with grace. I just want to see, a generation fired up for Jesus. The third is, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. That's the encouragement. You see, guys, fear and discouragement is raging in our lives. There's loads of things that make us fearful and loads of things that discourage us, whether it's stats, whether it's like people that we're hearing leaving the church, whatever it is, or whether there's like a mental health crisis, whether there's a financial crisis. It's all fear and discouragement, and it weighs heavy on us. But the thing is that this was always the Christian story. The Christian story is that we're in a battle. The battle's been won, like from an eternal perspective, but we're in a battle. You're in a battle. Ephesians 6 says, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we need to be equipped and not surprised when we face difficulties. But remember that God has called us to be strong and courageous in the face of difficulties and challenges. I recently was speaking at a youth event in Nottingham, and a young girl came up to me at the end, and she'd been speaking to a youth leader because there was a word about young people coming and they would start CUs, Christian unions or Christian groups in their school because of this meeting. It was a prayer meeting. Young people were praying for hours. Young girl comes up and she says, I've got this real desire to start a Christian group in my school. God's been speaking to me about starting a Christian group and getting it going. But I went to my head teacher and he said to me, we're not a Christian school. We don't do those groups. We don't have those groups. Sorry, you can't start that group in your school. So the fear and discouragement start rising up in this young girl. She says, I don't know what to do. Do you know what I said to her? Start one anyway. Start one anyway. You don't need a classroom. Just start it at lunch. Start gathering young people, praying with them. Get your Bible out. Go for it. She said, oh, I don't. I said, it's better ask for forgiveness than permission. Just start a group. There'll always be opposition. There'll always be fear and discouragement. There'll always be someone telling you, you can't do this, you can't do that. This was a nation founded on Christianity. Let's get it back to some kind of resemblance where we believe this book and we live it out. Let's raise up a generation that will go into this classroom and say to the teacher, well, actually, it's actually a law that in a school, it's actually like a right of mine to start a prayer room or a prayer group in my school. Thank you very much. So I want to do that. This young girl, I don't know her story. I don't know where she's finished, but her school is a couple of miles from my house. So I'm going to definitely be praying for breakthrough in that school. There's young people that are hungry, and God is saying, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. Now, finally, as we come into land, the fourth, be strong and courageous. At this point the Israelites, they're getting ready. They're literally at the edge of the Jordan River, and God has charged Joshua with all these, be strong and courageous, and he's given them the vision, and they're stood at the edge here. And the Israelites say, Joshua, like we were committed to Moses, we're committed to you. We'll follow you. We'll follow your leadership. We can see that God is guiding us. And they understand that there's going to be battles and challenges ahead. And all throughout reading this passage, I couldn't forget the words of Jesus. And I want to remind you of what he said in John 16:33. He said this, I've told you these things, he was talking to his disciples, so that you may have peace. That word peace is actually shalom, not just peace, man, like peace over your life, every area of your life. I've told you these things, and Jesus was talking about the future things, that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Not you might, not you could, not you, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And as I was reading this, be strong and courageous, I was reminded, take heart. It's a very, very similar thing. And interestingly, Joshua is pretty much an identical meaning to Jesus. I don't know if you know this. Interestingly, Joshua took them into the promised land. Jesus effectively took all humanity into the promised future when he came, when he died, and when he rose again. Because he defeated the power of sin on the cross and death through his resurrection, so that we would not fear sin and we would not fear death. And I don't know if you have that knowledge in your own life, but when you follow Jesus, he leads you into the promised future. He gives you strength and he gives you courage. And so there's a promise. Now listen. When we first started DTI, it was a small thing, and then it grew, and then we had a conversation with Mike Pilavachi, who basically handed on many young people towards us, and now we have thousands of young people that come to DTI, and our vision is to keep growing and to keep reaching more young people wherever we can, in whatever way, to keep supporting youth leaders, all that kind of stuff. And it's a big vision, guys. I'm telling you, it's a big vision. And vision is always more exciting than the practical living out of the vision, isn't it? The vision of heaven. Isn't it so exciting that one day we'll be in heaven? Where there'll be no pain and no fear and no anxiety and no depression and no suicide and none of that stuff. But we're working towards that day. And until that point, we need to keep pressing on and keep being strong and courageous. Now, when we heard that DTI, we were going to grow and we were going to move it to the summer, we were kind of like, wow, this is a big vision. And we started to get a bit discouraged. How are we going to do this financially? How are we going to do this? And we started to pray, God, would you reveal something to us? And I finished with this story. And me and Susie were in it. We were driving to pick up some friends who lead a young adults ministry called Cause to Live For. And we went into the hotel to pick them up, and they weren't there. So we had to do a loop back because you couldn't turn around and go back. It was a one-way system. And so we went to pick them up again, and we came to a barrier. And you needed a code to get into the barrier, to get the barrier to lift up. And so we called them for them to give us the code to the barrier. And they were taking ages. If you know that couple, I won't mention their name. They'd sort of, you know, take a while to get their life together. No, they're wonderful people. Anyway, and we come to this barrier, and Susie said, I'm fed up of this. I'm just going to prophetically speak it out. 5741. She puts the code in, and the barrier starts lifting up. And they said the code, the exact same numbers, but in a different order. Now, listen, there's so many number combinations that you could put in, but the barrier lifted off. And we were like, we looked at each other and we're like, whoa, what just happened? This is insane. And we told that couple, and then we had all had an encounter on the journey to where we were going. Like, just the Holy Spirit just descended on us and said, I promised you this. I've removed the barrier. It's like, there's no barrier. And that's what me and Susie say whenever we come up to a story, to a problem in with DTI. We just say, there's no barrier. He's removed the barrier. He's moved it out of our way. Then that night, I'm like searching the scriptures of, there must be, like, you know, the Bible's full of numbers, and there must be, what about 5741? I look up that 5741, and you will not believe what I came to. It's this passage in Isaiah 57:14, and it says this. You can look it up. Build up, build up. Remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. My jaw hit the floor, and I was like, what? Guys, God is removing the barriers out of the way of us. He wants us to be strong and courageous, and please help raise up a generation to be strong and courageous, not to be full of fear and not to be full of discouragement, but to be strong and courageous. And he wants to use you, no matter how old, no matter how young you are. He wants to raise you up, and he wants to use you and take the little in your hand and use it for his glory. He wants to do it. So as my final thing, and I'm half an hour here, I don't know if you get preachers this long, but it's just be strong and courageous. It's a word in season for you, I hope, as a church. I hope that you would take hold of this and live it out. Be strong and courageous.
Be strong and courageous.
Come on. Amen. Amen. So I'd love to pray. I'd love to pray and invite a response, really. Listen, if you've been hearing me speak and God's been stirring you in any way, then I'd love to create an opportunity for you to respond, because God wants to do something in this room so that he can do something out of this room. And so what I want to do is I just want to invite any of you, if you like feel stirred that you just need to take a stand today to be strong and courageous, then I'd love for you to just stand where you are. It doesn't matter about other people, but just stand. Maybe it's an area in your life that you just like, I want to take a stand. Okay. Yeah. For those of you who are standing and those of you who are sitting, why don't you just put out your hands and just say, Lord, it's not a special thing. It's just saying, Lord, I want to receive something from you. Now, Spirit of God, just fill these people, the whole room, but people standing right now. Raise up leaders. Raise up sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, children.